ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 19, Swallowing the Forest Fire. This chapter describes how Lord Krishna saved the cows and the cowherd boys from a great fire in the Munjaranya forest. One day, the cowherd boys became absorbed in sporting and allowed the cows to wander into a dense forest. Suddenly, a forest fire blazed up, and to escape its flames, the cows took refuge in a grove of sharp canes. When the cowherd boys missed their animals, they went searching for them, following their hoof prints and the trail of blades of grass and other plants they had trampled or had broken with their teeth. Finally, the boys found the cows and removed them from the cane forest. But by that time, the forest fire had grown strong and was threatening both the boys and the cows. Thus, the cowherd boys took shelter of Sri Krishna, the master of all mystic power, who told them to close their eyes. They did so, and in a moment, he swallowed up the fierce forest fire and brought them all back to the Bandira tree mentioned in the last chapter. Seeing this wonderful display of mystic potency, the cowherd boys thought Krishna must be a demigod, and they began to praise him. Then they all returned home. Text 1. Please repeat after me. Shri Shukavacha. Shri Shukadev Goswami said, Krida, in their playing, Asakteshu, while they were completely absorbed, Gopeshu, the cowherd boys, Tadgava, their cows, Duracharini, wandering far away, Svairam, independently. Charantya, grazing. Vivishu, they entered. Trina, for grass. Lobena, out of greed. Gavaram, a dense forest. Translation. Shukadev Goswami said, while the cowherd boys were completely absorbed in playing, their cows wandered far away. They hungered for more grass, and with no one to watch them, they entered a dark forest. There is no purport, but still I will comment a little on the verse, because it is the beginning of the pastime described in the 19th chapter. The direct meaning is clear, but there is a lesson for us in the pastime. It is described here that the cows, lobena, out of greed, in this case trina, for grass, Duracharini wandered far away, svairam, independently. Any one of us may be influenced by hunger or greed for sense gratification. And thus we may wander away from the association that is congenial for our Krishna consciousness, independently, svairam. We may wander away independently, and enter Gavaram, a dense forest. A dark, dense forest that is hard to find our way out of. So this is an instruction in the first verse. Text 2. Ajagavo mahishyascha nirvishantyo vanadvanam ishiktavim nirvishvishu krandantyo davatarshitaha. Passing from one part of the great forest to another, the goats, cows, and buffaloes eventually entered an area overgrown with sharp canes. The heat of a nearby forest fire made them thirsty, and they cried out in distress. So they wandered away from Krishna and the cowherd boys who were meant to protect them, out of greed for fresh grass. And they wandered into a dense forest. But instead of the happiness that they were seeking, instead they got distress. The distress of the heat of a nearby forest fire, which caused them to be thirsty. And in their distress, they cried. They cried out. Text 3. Te pashyanta pashun gopa krishna rama dayastada jatanuta panavidur vichinvanto gavam gatim. Not seeing the cows before them, Krishna, Rama, and their cowherd friends suddenly felt repentant for having neglected them. The boys searched all around, but could not discover where they had gone. So we are also meant to take care of each other. And we should be conscious of where the other devotees are, both physically and spiritually. And if someone wanders off, we should also feel responsible. We should feel repentant that we did not take sufficient care of them. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that if a devotee leaves the mutt or the temple, we should feel that 50% of the fault is ours. We don't just blame the devotee who left, but we should feel 50% of the responsibility is ours. Chinaistat kura tad chinayar go goshpadayar ankitayar gavam margam anvagaman sarve nashta jivya vichetasa. Then the boys began tracing out the cow's path by noting their hoofprints and the blades of grass the cows had broken with their hooves and teeth. All the cowherd boys were in great anxiety because they had lost their source of livelihood. So if some devotee strays away, we should feel repentant that we did not take proper care. And then we should try to search the devotee out and bring him or her back. In one statement, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur described the purpose of the mutt or the temple to facilitate the process of chanting and hearing about Krishna, rendering service to Krishna in different ways, together in the association of other devotees. And he said that if someone leaves the mutt or the temple, we should find him and speak to him like our own brother appeal to him to appreciate this great value of the human form of life and to come back to the proper activity of engaging in devotional service. Text 5. Munjatavyam vrishta margam krandamanam svagodanam samprapya trista shrantas tataste sanyavartayam. Within the Munja forest, the cowherd boys finally found their valuable cows, who had lost their way and were crying. Then the boys, thirsty and tired, herded the cows onto the path back home. Text 6. Well, so it's the cowherd boys, they also took a risk by following the cows, and they also became thirsty and tired like the cows, but they felt that they couldn't live without their herd, And we should feel that way too, that we, as Prahlad Maharaj said, we don't want to go back home, back to Godhead alone, but we want to take with us as many others as possible. And that requires a personal sacrifice. Well, to achieve anything requires sacrifice, austerity, effort, but especially to bring a fallen conditioned soul back to the lotus feet of Krishna requires extraordinary effort. As Srila Prabhupada said, we have to shed gallons of blood just to make one devotee. And so if one devotee comes after so much effort, collective effort of the preaching mission, and then leaves, it is a great loss. As Srila Prabhupada said, every soul is important in Krishna consciousness. So we should spare no effort. Now, in the case of the cows, they were in distress, they were feeling pain, and they were crying out. Sometimes, when a devotee leaves the association of other devotees, he or she becomes so covered that they don't even recognize their distress. I mean, we can see that they're in distress, but they can be so covered that they feel that they are just fine. Even then, if we reach out to them and extend our friendship to them, it will mean a lot. Even if they're not ready to come back immediately, but the fact that we did reach out to them will certainly stay in their memory. And one day when the time is right, they will come back, or may come back. And then they will appreciate. I've heard testimonies from so many devotees who've strayed away for some time and then come back. And they remember one devotee who never gave up on them. He would always call and speak with them, even if they weren't very receptive. And then when they finally did come back, they would remember and express their appreciation for the devotee who kept in touch with them, even when they were not very interested. But the position of the cows, who actually felt their distress and were crying out, was good. Because by their crying out, the boys could find them out where they were and come to rescue them. Text 6. Ta uhuta bhagavata mega gambiraya gira swanam nam ninadam shutva pratinedu praharshita. The Supreme Personality of Godhead called out to the animals in a voice that resounded like a rumbling cloud. Hearing the sound of their own names, the cows were overjoyed and called out to the Lord in reply. So when we talk about the cowherd boys, Krishna is included among them. He's also a cowherd boy. Yes, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he's playing the part of a cowherd boy. And especially in Vrindavan, the pastimes are human-like, Narlila. And so Krishna, he plays and frolics among the cowherd boys just like one of them. But still, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he's the supreme object of love for all the cows, cowherd boys, gopis, and all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. And he has a very personal relationship with each and every one of them, to the extent that he knows the names of each and every cow. He can recognize each and every cow. He can recognize the sound of the voice or moo of each and every cow. And so when the cows heard their names being called by Krishna, they were overjoyed. Not just because they knew they would be saved from their difficult situation, but they were overjoyed out of love that their dearmost friend and object of love, Krishna, had come. And they called out to the Lord in reply. Text 7. Tata samanta davadu maketur yadrit chaya bhut chaya krid vanokasam sam ririta swantino balamukhair vile lihanastira jangaman mahan. Suddenly, a great forest fire appeared on all sides, threatening to destroy all the forest creatures. Like a chariot driver, the wind swept the fire onward, and terrible sparks shot in all directions. Indeed, the great fire extended its tongue of flame toward all moving and non-moving creatures. Purport. Just as Krishna, Balaram, and the cowherd boys were about to take their cows back home, the forest fire previously mentioned raged out of control and surrounded all of them. Text 8. Tam apatantam parito tavagnim gopas chagava prasamikshyabita uchus chakrishnam sabalam prapanna yata harim rityubayardita jana. As the cows and cowherd boys stared at the forest fire attacking them on all sides, they became fearful. The boys then approached Krishna and Balaram for shelter. Just as those who are disturbed by fear of death approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the boys address them as follows. So, there are different ways of appreciating the pastime. And in the very beginning, we mentioned the idea that the cows are like our senses that become allured, greedy, become allured by fresh grasses and lead us astray. Us means the soul. And when we are led astray, we may end up in a dense, dark forest. We may end up in a blazing fire. And what do we do in such a precarious condition? We cry out to Krishna and Balaram. We cannot save ourselves. We don't have the strength or the intelligence to save ourselves independently. In fact, it was because we acted independently that we ended up going astray and coming into difficulty. But in our precarious situation, if we admit our utter dependence on Krishna and Balaram and cry out to them, they will help us without any doubt. Or cry out to their devotees. In Shimana Shiksha, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami says that lust and anger and greed are like robbers on the highway that want to plunder our wealth of Krishna consciousness. And in that precarious situation, we should call out to the Lord or the Lord's devotees. He mentioned specifically the Lord's devotees, and they will save us. So the boys addressed Krishna and Balaram as follows. Text 9. Krishna Krishna Mahavira He Rama Moga Vikrama Davagnina Dayamanam Prapanam Stratumarhata. O Krishna Krishna, most powerful one, O Rama, you whose prowess never fails, please save your devotees who are about to be burned by this forest fire and have come to take shelter of you. Text 10. Nunam tvad bandava Krishna na charhantya vasaditum Vayum hi sarva dharma gya tvan natas tvad parayanaha. Krishna, certainly your own friends shouldn't be destroyed. O knower of the nature of all things, we have accepted you as our Lord, and we are souls surrendered unto you. Text 11. Shishuka uvacha vacho nishamya kripanam bandunam bhagavan hari nimilaya tamab baishta lochana nitya bhashata. Shukadeva Goswami said, hearing these pitiful words from his friends, the Supreme Lord Krishna told them, just close your eyes and do not be afraid. Purport. This verse clearly reveals the simple, sublime relationship between Krishna and his pure devotees. The Absolute Truth, the Supreme Almighty Lord, is actually a young, blissful cowherd boy named Krishna. God is youthful, and his mentality is playful. When he saw that his beloved friends were terrified of the forest fire, he simply told them to close their eyes and not be afraid. Then Lord Krishna acted as described in the next verse. So I'll read the next verse because it completes this section. Text 12. Tateti milita keshu bhagavan agnim ubanam pitva mukena tad kritrad yogadisho vyamochayat. All right, the boys replied, and immediately closed their eyes. Then the Supreme Lord, the Master of all mystic power, opened his mouth and swallowed the terrible fire, saving his friends from danger. Purport. The cowherd boys were suffering from extreme fatigue, hunger, and thirst, and were about to be consumed by a horrible forest fire. All this is indicated here by the word Kritrat, which means danger. So, this act of Krishna of swallowing the forest fire was certainly extraordinary. Sometimes people want to imitate Krishna. They're envious of Krishna and want to take the place of Krishna. So when they hear of Krishna's dancing with the gopis, enjoying with the gopis, they think we will also enjoy with young ladies. And of course that is a disastrous mentality. And Srila Prabhupada says that if you want to enjoy with the gopis, if you want to imitate Krishna by enjoying with the gopis, you should imitate him by lifting Govardhan Hill. Or swallowing a forest fire. But people cannot do that, and therefore they should not dare to think of imitating Krishna in other ways. Now, as His Holiness Radhanath Swami so beautifully described in his class on Friday, why did Krishna ask the cowherd boys to close his eyes? Of course, he would have been referring to the commentaries of the previous acharyas, which all of us do. We all follow the previous acharyas. Earlier, Lord Krishna had been playing with his friends, and they had complained to Mother Yashoda. Of course, Krishna is the Janmadiyasyataha, is the origin of everything. But still, to reciprocate a devotee's desire to serve him in a particular relationship, such as mother, he will accept a pure devotee in the role of his mother, and he will play the part of the perfect child. Perfect in the sense of perfectly reciprocating the devotee's desire. So, one day when Krishna was playing with Balaram and the other cowherd boys, he got late in coming home. He didn't want to leave his play. And so finally Mother Yashoda came to call him home to take prasad. Sometimes preachers also, they become absorbed in their work and they forget about their prasad and come home late. But anyway, Mother Yashoda came and the cowherd boys complained to Mother Yashoda that Krishna had eaten some dirt, some mud. And Krishna denied it. He said, it's not true. And Mother Yashoda said, well, Balaram also says that you ate mud. And Krishna said, they're envious of me. We were playing and so then Krishna said, but still, if you have any doubt, you can look into my mouth and see if there's any dirt. So he opened his little mouth and she looked in. And within his little mouth, she saw the entire cosmic manifestation. All the different planets, the different material elements, the time factor. She saw the whole of creation. She saw the mystic powers, and they're all worshiping Krishna. And she also saw herself in Krishna's mouth, looking into his mouth. And she became totally bewildered. She thought, what is happening to me? Am I going crazy? But then she considered, but no, I'm able to do my household duties. I'm able to do my normal activities. I don't think I've gone crazy. So then she thought, well, maybe some demigod or some very powerful being has cast some spell on her to disrupt her normal mental functions. But then she thought, but that can't be. I'm just an ordinary cowherd lady. I'm just a simple wife and mother. I'm not important enough for some powerful being to attack with some bewildering power. So, all in all, she was completely confused. And she thought, maybe I'm asleep, maybe I'm dreaming. But then
Maybe she pinched herself. Somehow she figured out that she wasn't asleep. So she could not understand what was happening. And finally, Krishna, wanting to relieve her of her great mental confusion, expanded his yoga maya potency and made the whole scene disappear. He was just her small child, and he closed his mouth, and then he went back home with her. So Krishna, in the forests, surrounded by the fire, thought that once I ate a little dirt, and the cowherd boys complained to my mother, and I got into so much trouble. What if they see me eating fire and tell my mother? How much trouble will I get into then? So then he thought, I better have them close their eyes so they won't see me eating the fire. So he said, just close your eyes. And then he swallowed up the whole huge forest fire. And then he said, all right, now you can open your eyes. And when they opened their eyes, they found themselves back in the Mandira Van, under the Mandira Vat, a wonderful tree. It's still there in Vrindavan, a very special tree that's described in the Shastra. So this is just a glimpse into the beautiful reciprocation of Krishna and his devotees in Vrindavan. And by hearing these pastimes, we should be attracted to life with Krishna. And we should also think that if we just surrender to Krishna, he will protect us. These are not just stories for our entertainment or amusement, or the entertainment and amusement of our children, but they depict the actual reality of life with Krishna in Vrindavan. And even though we're in the material world, Krishna is the same. He's very affectionate to his devotees. And if some devotee surrenders to him and is in difficulty, Krishna will save him or her. So by hearing these pastimes, we should develop faith in Krishna and eagerness to have the same type of relationship with him as the residents of Vrindavan, and to have the same love from him and care from him and protection from him that they get, and any pure devotee will get who surrenders to Krishna. So these are very confidential pastimes. We're already in the 10th canto. But in general, we should begin with the first canto, even before that with the Bhagavad Gita, the first canto, second canto, so that we understand Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Satchidananda Vigraha, he has an eternal, blissful spiritual body. He's not an ordinary person, nor are these imaginary stories or myths. And by talking about Krishna, our hearts become purified. Hearing about Krishna, talking about Krishna, our hearts become purified. And even if we don't understand it, but the transcendental sound vibration will act upon our hearts. And by repeating, things become clear. One of Srila Prabhupada's last instructions in Vrindavan is discuss Srimad Bhagavatam daily as much as possible. The more you discuss the subject matter, the more it becomes clarified. And if we don't understand something, and yet don't have a way of discussing it, we can just repeat it. When very early, one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples heard the statement that the moon is churned from the ocean of milk, and the disciple didn't understand. The moon is churned from the ocean of milk? And Srila Prabhupada replied, just repeat, the moon is churned from the ocean of milk. So she repeated, the moon is churned from the ocean of milk. They said, now say it again. The moon is churned from the ocean of milk. He said, okay, repeat one more time. The moon is churned from the ocean of milk. Then Srila Prabhupada asked, do you understand now? She said, yes. The moon is churned from the ocean of milk. And when the Nectar of Devotion first came out, we were all very new devotees. And the Nectar of Devotion discusses some very high topics. But Srila Prabhupada said that if you don't understand anything, just read it again and again. Don't speculate. Just read it again and again, and it will become clear. And our hearts will become purified, and with a pure heart we can understand. What is Krishna? What is the goal of life? How to attain it? And even how to bring others to Krishna, which pleases him very, very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Yes.
Thank you for that. Stated earlier, you were discussing how if a devotee, at least the association of devotees, normally devotees will try to kill something. Normally devotees will try to kill something, their compassion, and try to be helpful as much as possible. Now, just remembering back, because I had thought about this for a long time, but in the mid 1970s, in Houston, we had the Brahmacharya Ashram, the devotees were only pretty close to each other and friends. They performed devotional service together. So this one devotee, he left and seemed to join some other organization. There was a little boy who used to wear a peacock feather. And we went to visit him, and I don't think we tried to exactly preach to him, but we tried to make friends and just say, hey, we're your friends, we just wanted to come visit you. And the devotee didn't want us to preach to him. So we were trying to make friends as much as possible. I think he appreciated this. We don't know what ever happened after that, but still, I just remember that it was a very good thing that we tried as best as possible to at least reach out in a Buddha friendship and a devotee friendship.
Yes. Somehow that reminded me of another incident when, I mean, he wasn't initiated then, but when Bhakti Churu Swami first came to the Association of Devotees in Mayapur, something happened, you know, in a big organization. It can happen that there's some conflict or you see something that doesn't seem right. So he left. He went home to Calcutta. And when His Holiness Jaitaka Swami Maharaj heard about it, he was so concerned and upset that he went all the way from Mayapur to Calcutta. I don't even know how he knew how to find him. It was sort of like that, like the cows wandered off and where did they go? Somehow he found Maharaj's house, his parents' house, but Maharaj was out. And Jaipataka Swami waited, I think like for 3 hours, and still Maharaj didn't come home. And then he just had to leave. He had to get back to Mayapur. Well, when Bhakti Chur Swami returned home and found out that Jaipataka Swami had come all the way just for him, you know, and such an exalted devotee who's already a sannyasi and leader of the Mayapur project, he felt so ashamed and embarrassed that by his leaving, Jaipataka Swami had to do that for his sake. And he wasn't even there to receive him. So he just packed his bags and went back to Mayapur. So, yeah, we never know how much a sincere effort can help another soul. Yes, Rasaraj Prabhu.
Thank you very much. On a related topic, you were discussing this just yesterday night in Sharjah Book. It is my observation that, you know, devotees don't necessarily believe all the way. It is, seeing that they do some service, and after doing the service for a certain number of years, they either feel discouraged or not fully appreciated, or somehow or the other they feel that their service is not something that they want to continue doing, or, you know, also feel that the service is actually given to some other devotees who probably do the service better than they do, but the service is taken away from them, and then they stop doing the service. And, you know, to practice their devotional life independently, doing just the very basic minimum that is required, maybe you see them doing the Sunday feasts once in a while, maybe doing a festival here and there, but the enthusiasm to do that service is actually, that goes away. And we were thinking about that. Why would that happen? Why would someone want to leave their service and not participate, but still continue being devotees? It's not that they're attracted by the external things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I would prefer to look at the 50% of it that's with us rather than the 50% that's with them. We should be very careful when it comes to taking service away from a devotee, even if we think someone else can do it better. We should be careful in two ways. I'll cite one example that was very instructive. Garga Muni Swami was in charge of the library party in India, book distribution to bookstores. So anyway, Srila Prabhupada's son, Vrindavan Chandra Day, had a little bookstore in North Calcutta. And Srila Prabhupada wanted to give him the distribution rights for his books. I think for Calcutta, for maybe Bengal and Bihar. So Garga Muni became very upset. And he came to Prabhupada and I wish I could imitate him because he stuttered. He had a very distinctive, but anyway, I won't. But he basically said, Vrindavan Chandra is like, he's like so small time. You know, we've given him books before. He hardly sells any books at all. He's just like so small time. If you give me, that area, I can distribute 100 times more books than he will. Prabhupada said, yes, that may be true, but still I want to engage him, I want to encourage him. And Prabhupada, stuck to his position. And then after Garga Muni left the room, Prabhupada said, he's simply envious. So, in this case, Prabhupada was giving more importance to engaging that soul in devotional service than to the sales of the books, or you could say the results of the service. So, it's not always the case that just because someone can do a service better than another person that the service should be given to him or her, because there may be other factors. And like we were discussing, okay, we're doing all this service, Krishna doesn't really need anything, we're trying to bring people to him, and with such great effort one person comes, and then if that person gets discouraged, from a certain point of view, we were trying to increase the service, but the service is ultimately meant to culminate in bringing more people, so we're going to keep whoever comes. The other aspect would be how you go about taking away the service. And a very important part of that could be giving another service to the person. Sometimes it happens. Someone is in an important position. He's not really functioning properly, and his improper performance of the service is affecting many other people. It's not just himself. So it may come to the stage where we need to replace the person. So one part I would say should be to, express appreciation for all that the devotee did. But then the other part is, now what service can we give the devotee? So he doesn't, because service is very important. And, we're not talking about people who can, just sit and chant and hear all day. It's very important for them to do service and be connected with the mission.
Prabhupada. So, you know, one approach could be to sit with the person and say, you know, this is, you know, you've really done a lot, you've worked hard, you've tried your best, but, you know, this is sort of like you and this is the service. It might not be the best fit, and we have someone else who might fit better in the service, and, you know, ultimately we want to please Prabhupada and Krishna. But we think, well, either, you know, we think this would be a good service, or we could ask, you know, what service would you like to do? You know, something so that that connection is maintained, because that connection is really important. Really, really, really important. Yes, Narita?
My question is more of a technical question about rasa, and the topic has to do with the covered boys relating to Krishna as equals, and then suddenly when the fire manifests, they're worshipping him as the Supreme Lord. They're worshipping him, you're the ultimate shelter, give us shelter, please. And so I was wondering, you know, it seems to be an example of rasa vasa. I was wondering if you could please explain that to me.
No, they don't. They didn't refer to Krishna or address Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All the references to Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead came from Shukadeva Goswami. They did say, "O Krishna, powerful one," but that doesn't mean he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They know he's powerful, or, you know, "O Rama, you whose prowess is never thwarted." But it's Sukadeva Goswami who's referring to them as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not the cowherd boys. And for them, it's just it's just a fact that they're powerful and they love Krishna. Krishna loves them, and they know Krishna will protect them. It's like a child might call his father to help him in a difficult situation. Doesn't mean he thinks that his father is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Or an older brother, stronger brother. No, it's not like that. Although it is true on rare occasions, the residents of Vrindavan can see Krishna as something extraordinary, but ultimately their sweet mood of intimate relationship with him prevails. I mean, it's a whole topic, and we don't have time to discuss it right now because we have to leave for the retreat. But under certain circumstances, that awareness of Krishna being the Supreme Personality of Godhead may be there. And one of the circumstances is separation. And Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives the example that when you boil milk, there may be some little bits of grass, you know, in that rural setting. It might be a few little pieces of grass or straw in the milk. But you don't see it. It's at the bottom of the pot. But when you boil the milk, those little pieces may come to the surface, and then again they go down. And then when you take the milk off the fire, they go down. So in the same way, in the fire of separation, the gopis, that awareness that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead may come to the surface, but then it disappears again.
mean, Krishna lived at the Govardhan Hill. Everyone saw it. But they didn't conclude that he's the Supreme Personality of God. Yeah. In fact, the cowherd boys were holding their sticks up because they thought, Krishna might get tired, so they wanted to help him by putting their sticks up to hold the mountain aloft. But still, it was, in most cases, Krishna didn't do things that like that, that everyone could see. And that too for 1 week. So afterwards, there was a big discussion about Krishna that, and some of the cowherd men approached Nanda Maharaj, your Krishna's not an ordinary boy. He may be some demigod. And he may even be an expansion of the Supreme Lord Narayan. So you're, chastising him and, punishing him. We don't think you should do that. Because we don't know who he is. He could be some demigod. So Nanda Maharaj said, oh, you think you know Krishna? I know my Krishna very well. If he gets a little hungry, he screams and cries, and if we don't feed him, he goes to the neighbors and steals butter and yogurt. Is that the activity of a demigod? And if his mother approaches him with a stick, he becomes so afraid that he starts to cry and he runs away. Is that the activity of a demigod? He cannot control his senses. He cannot control his mind, his emotions. And then hearing these charming talks about Krishna's childlike activities, all the elders became overwhelmed in that mood of Vatsalya Bhav, and they forgot all about Krishna being a demigod or maybe even an expansion of Lord Narayan himself. And it can even go to the extent that they may actually accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because every day the demigods would come. So it would happen. Demigods would come and offer prayers to Krishna. It happened after the Govardhan Leela. It happened after the Brahma Vimohana Leela. But it just increases the parental affection, or the affection of the cowherd friends. Just like, say, a mother will feel proud. My son is a high court judge, but he's still her son. And her affection for him as her son is much more prominent than her appreciation of him being a high court judge. And same with the cowherd boys. They see the demigods come. They shower flowers, they offer prayers, they sing Krishna's glories. It just makes them proud. We have such a friend that even the demigods come and worship him. But he's still our friend. It doesn't change their relationship with him. It just becomes another element in the same relationship.
it just enhances their appreciation for him as their friend or son. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Itai gaur prema nandi nandi bodhi.